Welcome back to the podcast. It is September the 5th, 2025, as you hear this. My name is Eddie Lindenstein, and I am the host, of course. I don't know, episode 360-ish or so. I want to thank the patrons of the podcast. Go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast if you're interested in becoming a patron. So appreciative of all of you as long as you have been here. This podcast struggled to make it. Planned on when the week began, the plan was to record something yesterday, and then something happened on Tuesday that I'm going to talk about that delayed all of that and still continues to delay it. I'll try not to get lost in my thoughts, and we'll see how it goes. Over the next couple of weeks, Michael Galinsky, who was the filmmaker for All the Rage about Dr. Sarno's life, did a TEDx talk that I want to play on the show probably next week, and I'm going to have Michael back. We're going to nail down a time, but I'm going to have him back here relatively soon. Recording with Sarah DeKeeley here really soon, I think next week. So there's some good stuff on tap. Now, what I'm going to talk about is this happened on Tuesday. And this is an exact, you know, this podcast is for the most part mind body stuff, sometimes fitness. And then occasionally it dips into that personal diary category. There was the episodes after my dogs died that happened in here. You know, this has been episodes, instances of that. Tuesday, I was eating dinner and I was by myself. My Zoe was upstairs in the shower. Audrey was upstairs watching TV. Jenny was in her office working, and I was doing some dishes and eating at the same time. And I was having some rice with some chicken and stuff like that, and was having a lot of it. I was hungry. Soccer practice had ended about an hour earlier. I took a big bite and then went to swallow and got lodged in my throat, and my airway was completely blocked. I couldn't gasp. I couldn't get it to move. I couldn't breathe, obviously. I turned and tried to drink something. It did not go, and so now that is stuck. I lean over on over the kitchen sink and bang my arm pretty good. I've got a nice bruise from that to try and spit it out. And I just can't make any noise other than the banging on the counter. Did not know what to do. I was frantic. And this felt like it was a long amount of time. And it was probably somewhere in that 5 to 10 to 15 second realm. I walked over to the hallway where my wife was. And I'm just trying to do anything to try and clear this airway. My wife understands what's happening. She runs out. She gives me the Heimlich, a little bit too low on the torso. I bring her arms up a little bit higher on the torso. And eventually, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds after this started, 30 to 40 seconds after this started, a little bit came out, probably emptied 10% of my airway. I'd thrown up a little bit on the ground. But then hovered over the sink and we just kind of went through this cycle where I would try and drink a little bit. I wasn't able to for, it was probably 10 to 15 minutes where I would just try and take even just the smallest of sips and it would lock my airway again. And then I would lean over and she would bang on my back as hard as she could. And it would cause a little bit of vomiting. I would stick my fingers all the way down as far as I could in my throat to try and elicit vomiting and clearing that out. She brought me some, a carbonated beverage and same thing. The carbonated beverage was very scary because I would take a very small sip and I would try and tilt my head back. Anytime that I straightened out my neck, that airway would close again. So I'd try and gulp it, very, very small sip. And, you could hear these loud, like almost like popping sounds, I guess is the best way that I can describe it. And after a little bit of time, it finally cleared. I will tell you that this was the first time in my life I can ever recall having an out-of-body experience, meaning that I had a flash, like I was firmly of the belief that I had taken my last breath. By the time I got to Jenny, before she had started the Heimlich, I thought this is over. I'm done. This is how I'm gonna die right here. It sounds so stupid to say because I've been chewing and eating for 39 years. And was pretty certain that this was probably it. And if she was not there, so she saved my life. If she was not there, I, honest to goodness, I think I would have died on Tuesday, and that would have been that. If it was just me and the kids, they would have found Dad dead downstairs. That's tough to take. So, so Jenny had said, "Hey, if that were to happen and I wasn't home, you just sling your body over a chair and give yourself the Heimlich maneuver." That thought didn't even enter remotely into my brainstem to do. There was nothing about that thought that even occurred to me in the slightest bit. So I felt like I was just literally moments from passing out in the state that I was in. In fact, if Jenny had her headphones on, or if our hallway was a few feet longer, or if I wasn't being so frantic with it, literally any delay that was another 3 to 5 seconds. I think I would have passed out. I was that close. Saw this very quick flash of lots of different things, and then that was it. And so eventually that clears. I was over the toilet, hinged at the hip, with my chin pointed down, because any time that I tried to straighten my neck, and especially trying to stand up, everything was blocked again. And I had said that if this goes another like 3 to 5 minutes, I've got to go to the ER. At this point in time, though, I could breathe through my nose. I would do it gently, but just enough to where I was getting air and calming myself down. At this point, my watch is also going off, telling me I have a relax reminder that, hey, what's going on is too much for your system and you need to chill it out. You're wigging out. Thanks, Garmin. Like, I didn't know. And eventually got it clear. Once I was in a state where my airway was clear and I could stand up straight, I just turned to Jenny and I just couldn't stop crying. I was very shooken up and still am quite shooken up. Yesterday, so as I record this, yesterday is Wednesday, or was Wednesday. I was very loopy throughout the day. It reminded me a lot of, I had a concussion. If you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, I had a concussion in the summer of 2022. I had an off-road crash, parentheses, on my motorcycle, hit my head on a rock, a very big rock. And I had a concussion. And in the 2 to 4 days following that, just, I couldn't connect thoughts together very well at all. I was very foggy. People would ask me things and I couldn't quite answer them. I knew sort of what I wanted to say, but I couldn't piece the words together at all very well. That was very much the feeling I had yesterday, especially after noon yesterday and into the evening. And I still feel a little bit like that today. Like yesterday, I was making a couple of just kind of dumb mistakes. I was making dinner and I was like I was making tacos and I was draining the fat out of the pan that I'm cooking the meat in. And it was in a Coke can, like a diet soda can. And I go to just set it on a counter and completely just lost where I'm supposed to set this thing down, tipped, fat got all over the windowsill. Just little things like that. And then I had sent a note to a nurse friend of mine, a voice note on my phone, to tell her what had happened, because I didn't know, hey, like, should I still go and get seen, like go to the ER or go to urgent care or make an appointment with my doctor or something like that. And I was describing this and I re-listened to the voice note this morning and it just did not sound a lot like me. I was just very lost. So, I'm pretty torn up about it. I sat next to Jenny on the couch at, I don't know, maybe 9 p.m., so probably an hour after this went down, hour and a half on Tuesday, and she had just said, you know, I had some TV show on, I don't even remember what it was, and she said, so we're just supposed to act like nothing happened now. And unfortunately, yes, that's just sort of the nature of our lives, right? Something happens something traumatic, there is no processing of the event. You just move on. You know, you move on with your job and your other responsibilities and keeping the kids from fighting and, you know, doing as much as you can. And yesterday, like trying to get through meetings with clients, not exactly knowing exactly what to say or what to do or how to answer questions very well. And I still kind of feel like that today. It's very tough to focus on tasks to do. And I've cried plenty, a lot over the last couple of days, because the magnitude of it, again, like it just sounds so elementary and so stupid because, because it's choking. Like, who the fuck chokes? Children? Toddlers? 3-year-olds? You know, they might choke. Not adults. Not 39-year-old adults. So I'm happy I'm here. I told the kids yesterday, I took them out for ice cream. It was their first day of school. Took them out for ice cream after school and told them, or Zoe knew what was going on. I asked her, do you have any questions about anything that happened last night with this? And she said, not really. And I just wanted to be really straight with her that, like, you know, I really thought that this was the end. And I said, if mom wasn't there, I don't think I would have made it at all. It just sounds really dark to say to kids, but I do think that the magnitude of it and taking that kind of stuff seriously is a big deal. Jenny ordered a, I think it's like a plunger, like a mouth plunger that you can administer on yourself in case something like that happens, which is good. I know that I don't know if she wasn't there, I'd be dead right now. Who would do the podcast? Maybe Brad. Maybe Jeannie would do it. It's been a week, and I find myself the things that, again, as hard as it is for me to just focus on something, it's hard for me to care a ton about something right now. But at the same time, I have that feeling I think that some people get when they have like a, at least cliched, I hear people talk about a terminal illness or a somebody has like a near-death experience, and they kind of have this like, you know, YOLO mentality. And it's kind of what I feel right now. What do I want to be doing? What should I be doing? What can I be doing? And I don't know what that answer is, but I can tell you that I'm happy to be alive and I'm happy to be here. And I've always, not always, but I've thought of myself over the last few years as somebody that is not afraid of death. But I can tell you that the amount to which I cried and as hard as I cried in Jenny's arms after that ordeal, maybe I'm not okay with it. I don't know. Let's do a quick question from a listener. I got an email from Caitlin. Hi, Eddie. I've only found your podcast and can't thank you enough for your content. Your interview questions get into exactly what I want to know from the greatest minds in the space, and I learn so much every time. I know you probably get an overabundance of questions like this, but I'm curious if you can briefly comment on the topic of tendonitis, bilateral elbow, in my case. I fully believe in TMS, but one of the barriers to me going fully is still the idea that it may not apply to me, specifically because its onset came from weightlifting, so it could be classified as an injury, went away with rest, and started hurting again when I resumed weightlifting 5 months later. Having dealt with your own tendonitis, do you treat it the same as other TMS equivalents? With gratitude, Caitlin. Yes, I do. This came up earlier this week, Sunday. It's Thursday as I record this. As you listen to this, it's Friday, so it's really a four-day thing. That feeling of, I think tennis elbow is the most common term for it, but that elbow tendonitis feel, I have gotten that several times. Actually, and then most recently on Sunday, I had a workout where I had 9 rounds with a 50-pound dumbbell of, what was it, 4 dumbbell snatches and 4 thrusters on each side for 9 rounds, not for time. I was still doing it quickly, as quick as I could. Because I was getting a little, I was on vacation. So that's just like, I'm doing what I can on the back patio of this vacation place that we were staying with a bunch of other families. So I'm getting a little lazy in my dumbbell snatches, particularly towards the end. They turn into more like curls, very, very heavy curls. And my elbow really started amping up the pain. That's very believable, right? That it's from doing that. It may have been from the activity, but I was just certain. I didn't place any, it hurt just as much as any of the other tendonitis times I've had it in the same spot where it would take weeks or months to heal and feel better. But in this case, like that kind of thing had happened so many times. And some of these things that, I mean, again, I said it on the podcast recently, Sarno said that the most painful thing in that he's encountered in medicine is TMS. So it would make sense that the, you know, this tendonitis thing hurts like hell, which it does. It really was amped up, but I just knew, I had certainty, I had no doubt about it, that this is going to feel better in the next day or two. I had to work out the next day. I don't even remember what I did the next day. What did I do? Oh, like dumbbell, kettlebell swings or whatever. I know it's not placing a lot of load on my elbows. My arms are straight. You know, I'm good. I did some jump rope and stuff too. Could still feel it into early Tuesday, but it was gone shortly after that. I mean, soft tissues heal pretty quickly. There's a lot of good blood flow to there in terms of the medical side of it. But, you know, one thing that Dr. Schubiner talked about on this podcast is these soft tissue injuries tend to heal pretty quickly. You know, we're talking a few days, a couple days, a week. Certainly by a couple of weeks, you've got noticeable improvement. And my suspicion is that 5 months later, what you're experiencing is not still what's going on with the injury. It's the feeling that you have attached to the injury. That is the problem. So that's what I would like you to keep in mind. And what I would say is maybe it's a graded exposure type thing that you bring back when you do try this again, which I hope is soon. So do a graded exposure. You know, maybe the load is lighter or the volume is lighter or the intensity is lower. Just something to where you can sort of ease back into it a little bit. But I believe you can, Caitlin. So that's the best that I can say. As far as this show goes, this episode, personal diary, if you hate it, you hate it. You can send me a message or a note if you want. I don't know how much wisdom I can offer today. I'm going to be kind to myself. My system saw death, surely, 2 days ago. I did get in a workout today. Much different than what I usually do. Usually I'm burning it down. Today, you know, maybe I could have slept another day or whatever, but I really wanted Friday and Saturday off to just rest completely. Was what I mainly wanted. Saturday I'm volunteering at a softball coaching clinic for kids, so I'll have something to do. And then I'm watching Audrey's soccer game, but Friday I'm just working and, you know, we'll see how that goes. But my system just needs a break for a couple few days. Take it a little easy. So doing what I love maybe more than anything in the world, and I'm coaching my kids tonight, coaching my soccer girls tonight. So I'm excited for that. And hopefully I can put together my words a little better next week. I've cried enough. I'm happy I got through this and didn't. I don't think I've cried on this podcast since Barkley passed away, and that was in 2024. Is that right? No. Yeah, I'm totally lost in my thoughts again. 2022, I think? Yeah, 2022. Yeah, 2022, March 22. That was when he passed away. It's been a long time. Okay. Thanks for being here. Send me a note if you want. Love you guys. I'll see you later.